Some of us here at Grace have actually had the experience of uprooting to a land far from our place of origin. Some of us know what it's like to live as an alien in a foreign land, but most of us do not. And even those of us here at Grace that were born in other countries came here of our own free will, if one considers decisions made while falling madly in love sane and based on will. The point is that I don't think that any of us have been taken in captivity to a foreign land. We probably don't even spend much time thinking of that as a possibility. Those of us who live in America are lucky that way. We don't worry about folks bursting into the front doors of Grace Church and marching us away. I don't think that any of us even woke up this morning worrying that by the end of the day, we would be taken to another country to live in servitude and captivity. For that, we should be very grateful, because that's not the case in many other places in the world, nor was it the case for our distant ancestors, God's people in Jerusalem. Prophet after prophet had tried to warn God's people that if they didn't follow God, if they forgot who they were, and were led astray by the false gods of the people who lived around them, that terrible things would happen. God can only be your God if you follow him. Prophet after prophet spoke words of warning to kings and peasants alike, to no avail, it seems. The people wouldn't listen. They were deaf to the cries of warning. They liked their lives of comfort and couldn't imagine that God would let anything bad happen to them. God had made a promise, had he not? They were his people, were they not? Nothing bad would happen, no matter what. So they lived as though they could do no wrong. They built homesteads and made side altars to the gods of their neighbors, Astarte and Ashtaroth, Adrammelech and Anemelech. God's people lived in physical splendor, but spiritual squalor, and they thought that nothing would change. God made a promise to be their God, but they forgot their end of the bargain to be God's people. And lo and behold, the Babylonians came and took them away. While they were having a grand old time, thinking that they could do no wrong and that no wrong could happen to them, the Babylonians were moving in, moving near, taking over first Egypt and now Jerusalem. While the people of God sat in smug security, the people of Babylon moved in and overtook them. Can you imagine what it would be like to be taken out of your town, out of your community, out of your home and church, and moved to another country? I don't think we can fully understand what that experience would be like. The imagining of it is difficult enough. Thankfully, for our ancestors, it seems that the Babylonians were not overly brutal. Families were not necessarily separated. This was not the Holocaust, but it was not good. Grab what you can, put it on your donkey, and start moving. Take what you most value and head out to a place unknown. A place that's unfamiliar, where you are not free. The Babylonians didn't take everyone, only those deemed necessary and useful. Priests, scholars, carpenters, tradesmen, teachers, scribes, artists, only those who would enhance the culture. I can't help wonder if those deemed to be of little worth were actually relieved a bit to be left behind. Or were they just awash with sadness to see so many leave? It must have been terrible being taken into exile. Their hearts had to be so very heavy. Their shoulders slumped. Every ounce of their being weighed down with the anxiety of going to an unknown place. Like many of you, I have moved many times in my life. Growing up as a child of a Methodist minister meant we relocated every 2 or 3 years. That slowed in adulthood, but I still find myself moving every so often. There was only one rule for me in moving. That was never above the Mason-Dixon line. While the rest of the country is beautiful and interesting, I don't know the rules there. I know the rules in the South, and while I might not like or agree or even understand many of them, I still know what they are. I know that the phrase, bless your heart, can be as misleading as a wolf in sheep's clothing. I know that who your folks are is important, and who you cheer for on Saturday in the fall might make you a friend or a foe. No white before Memorial Day or after Labor Day, and no dark meat in your chicken salad. And while I don't actually like it, I know that the default for tea is sweet, and the way most things are best cooked is fried. I don't know other cultural norms, not even in the United States, and much less in this wonderful wide world. So I cannot imagine how difficult it would be to be taken from my home at 5 Booger Hollow, which is usually followed with, yes, really. I can't imagine what it would be like to be taken to Mexico or even Canada. But that's exactly what happened so long ago to the people of God living in Jerusalem. And here's the odd twist. God has told Jeremiah to get word to his people, and here's what God says. To all the exiles that I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. God sent them? Yes, it seems that God did. God has not been able to get their attention through the prophets he sent, so maybe this time, away in a foreign land, will jerk them back. God goes on to tell them to settle in there. Build houses. Get married. Let your children get married. This is not going to be a quick time out. You might as well settle in and be comfortable. And pray for this country and support it. Be the people of God in this foreign land that you were not when you were living high on the hog and ignoring God at home. If Babylon, this foreign land, does well, then you will do well. And from the outside looking in, that sounds perfectly well and good and maybe even logical. If Babylon is successful, then perhaps the exiles will have security as well. But if you're a person who has just been taken to a foreign land against your will, the idea of praying for and working for the betterment of that land might not really come nearly as easily. Still, God wants his people to be his people, no matter where they find themselves, at home or in captivity in a foreign and fearful place. But what does this have to do with me, you might ask? We're all safe and comfortable here in Anniston, Alabama. And as I said earlier, the odds of some foreign country coming in and marching us out of our homes is pretty slim. Yes, that's true. At least I hope that's true. But there is not one of us here that has not or will not be in a foreign land, an unknown place of deep insecurity. That may not be that you find yourself in a Turkish prison or in the Amazon surrounded by angry natives, but you have or you will be on foreign soil in an unknown and insecure place. Perhaps the unknown soil is being alone after many years of marriage, either through death or divorce. Perhaps the unknown land is a land of unemployment or failing health. Maybe you're being held captive by debt or unhealthy relationships. Some of us are entering the unknown land of being care providers for our parents. And some of us are entering the unknown land of being cared for by our children. Throughout our lives, we are all taken to unknown places. Places we never thought that we would go. If we had no faith, we would flounder and fail in those foreign lands. We would think that we were all alone. But we know that all along, God is with us to help us, encourage us, support us, and allow us to settle into those unknown places. Maybe we, like our ancestors, don't listen well in times of comfort. Maybe we have to be uprooted and sent into a foreign land to finally learn what it means to live as the people of God. Amen.